Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Promoting peace, liberty, and prosperity around the clock. LibertyTalk.fm.
Welcome to Living the Solution with Dr. Elena George. Today we have a very important show, one I think that's timely, especially in the environment that we find ourselves in where, I don't know, medicine's changed. There's a lot of stress. I see patients every day and I'm seeing a growing number of patients who really are not interested in taking medication anymore. They want to fix the problem and they want to think outside the box. And I think in this day and age, I think it's the right thing to do. It's about not just medicating somebody anymore, not just controlling the symptom. It's about fixing the problem. And I think in order for us to really go to a deeper level, we need to think about the cellular approach because it's not macro anymore. It doesn't work that way. And I think in the age of COVID, we're figuring out a lot of things. And those of my colleagues who really love what we do are starting to approach medicine differently. And we're starting to really appreciate colleagues who don't get a voice. And today I want to talk to somebody who's out on the front line, who is thinking outside the box and has distilled healthcare to health and to the cellular approach. And today we want to welcome Dr. Anna Blessing. She's a biofeedback specialist, a nutritionist, a therapist, a frequency medicine practitioner. She has her own practice, Tucson Biofeedback, and she has a unique approach because she has a personal story. After traditional medical approaches failed in helping her overcome years of suffering from fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue, migraines, anxiety, depression, and PTSD, she set forth on a path to heal herself, leading her to biofeedback and frequency therapies, which ultimately resulted in a total remission and healing of all conditions and a renewed understanding of the quantum biophysics. And that's what we're going to speak about today, the cellular level and about energy and about the building blocks of what makes us us. And Dr. Blessing, I want to thank you so much for joining me today because I talk on the show a lot about we are the solution to our problems. We don't have to always depend on somebody to help us. We need to be able to draw from within. And what you do, I think, is empower people. You were speaking of yourself in the introduction. I mean, it took a lot to, I would think, break outside the paradigm to find an answer. I can imagine you must have gone through many doctors trying to fix this problem, these various ailments. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. And they really just led me, you know, into the pill and the prescription element. And I wanted to seek out the cause because I know that's how healing unfolds.
Indeed. Were they resistant to it? I mean, I assume that they didn't have a good facility because we don't train that way. We train, if it's a prescription, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. And it's really hammered home on the allopathic medical side.
It is. And I was a teenager when I was going through all of this. So I was pretty young and I didn't have much of a say being a minor. So it really, you know, they don't really listen to minors anyway on their opinions or what they're trying to express. So I was kind of at a loss. And I just knew once I became 18 that I would have a lot more say in my health. So in essence, I kind of laugh, but I say I divorced the medical industry at that time. And I really just set out on a path of self-education, self-empowerment, and wanted to figure out how to heal myself. Because I know that our bodies are created to heal. They're not created to become diseased and break down. That is, in essence, a man-made issue. And so it took me years of trial and error, especially because I had to do it all on my own. I didn't have a team of healers or even doctors by my side during that time.
You were in college. You're a biology major, am I correct?
I was a what?
A biology major.
I was in college. So I started college at 16 in Washington State. They had a running start program. So my path was a little bit different. And I wasn't able to continue my education and work with my health conditions. So I actually took a break before returning back to my education, which happened after I healed myself years later.
Wow. And so, you mean, I was a biology major in college, and we didn't really get, you know, we learned about the cell, but I don't think we really had the connection in medical school between the power of the cell. I mean, I think of it as a ball of energy, essentially, and it's a battery, and it's all about having it run at optimal energy levels, and things either add to it or take away from it. It's very simple in its, you know, its elegance, but we don't seem to think that way. I mean, what was the thing that turned you, because it's all about physics, quantum physics and energy. Yeah. How did you make that? I mean, I know it took a long time, but I'm curious, how did you make that leap? Because it was the difference, I'm sure, with like a light going off.
Yes. Yeah, so the intuition was always there. It was like something I could feel and just knew, but I couldn't explain it. And I didn't really have the physical things or the modalities to prove what I knew internally. You know, when I was a teenager, I would read books like The Power of the Subconscious Mind. So there was obviously this magnetism that drew me into the innate understanding of our body's ability to heal, the power of our mind. And that's really, I think, planted a lot of seeds. So through the process, water, believe it or not, was the first thing that completely shifted my body within 48 hours. And it was structured water. So getting into the cells, 99% of people, I'm sure you're aware, are chronically dehydrated on the cellular level because the molecules are too large. They can't enter the cells and the tissues. So when I was introduced, I think I was about 22, to structured water, everything shifted at that point immediately because my cells, I call it, came online and they started detoxifying. The charge started to go up. I could just feel my entire body shifting. And so that's really the shifting point that brought me into understanding the simplicity, but like you said, the elegance and also complexity of the way our cells and our bodies work.
That's a really good point. That's like the foundation of life. What are we, about 70% water? And we don't even think about it. We pull the tap water. People are drinking bottled water. Let's explore that for a minute, because I don't think people really understand there's water and there's really what you just described. And it's a whole nother ball game.
Water is a science in and of itself. And when patients come in, I always start them there. And I laugh. I'm like, boring, like the foundation of your house. You don't go and show people your amazing foundation, but you don't have a house without the foundation. And it's so crucial, because the best way to describe it, like you said, whether it be bottled, it could be the most expensive Fiji or Evian or tap. It's like if you look at your cells, tissues, and organs like a chain link fence, and you're throwing golf balls and marbles through that fence, well, the marbles are going to get through, but the problem is people are drinking the golf ball size molecules. So you could drink a gallon of water a day and all you're doing is stressing your body and you're not actually hydrating. So that's the first place I start everyone, is working on getting their hydration on the cellular level up. And from there, we're no longer working on something that doesn't have a foundation.
That's really well said. And, you know, we're going to take a break in a few seconds, but from what you're describing, it's about the charge of and the size of the water, right? I've drink a water that is structured as well. And it's like an intracellular structure. So it's able to get in through. And that's another way to think about it. You're able to flush the cell of all of the trash that's in it. If it's stuck in the cell can't survive long. It doesn't perform to its peak. And then it tends to die an early death or go offline, right?
Exactly. And we live and die at the cell level. So the cellular hydration, the cellular health is crucial. And I'm sure, as you know, since you drink the structured water, it shifts the charge of the cell, because the charge of the cell holds either vitality and usefulness, or it starts to break down and losing that charge. That's where the inflammation, tumor cells, the cell division, and ultimately cell death unfolds. So yes, that water is the key piece.
Well, let's talk about disease, because you just opened the door to so many questions I'm sure that people have. I think people think of disease as different things, right? Cancer or fibromyalgia or allergies, but they actually have, I would think, a single trigger. that starts them off. And I want to explore that when we come back. So let's take our first break. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living the Solution. We're speaking with Dr. Anna Blessing, the owner of the Tucson Biofeedback Clinic. And before the break, we were starting to tease apart the cellular biology and what makes us who we are, what keeps us healthy. And what we really want to know is what makes us sick and water is the underpinning of everything. And I was curious, could you think of all diseases as starting as a cellular response that can't repair, that leads down the path you just described of inflammation, and then it just manifests at different diseases that we as physicians and practitioners treat?
Yeah, and actually it starts even outside of the cell. What I have found, it starts in the electromagnetic field of our body, and every deficiency, whether it were imbalance, whether it be hormone, nutrient, et cetera, actually starts in that information field. Western medicine does not understand or acknowledge the information field yet. Germany, Russia, and a lot of the more advanced understandings of frequency medicine, they really get this element. And so when you become deficient or break down on that external field, which is in essence our shield, then the cells start to break down. And like you said, Western medicine is obsessed with diagnoses. Mm-hmm. And as you know, you don't heal by treating a diagnosis. You heal by treating the whole person, the mind, body, spirit, and then of course the emotional aspect as well. And the disease is just the way that the body is trying to get back into balance. So there's genetic factors, there's cellular issues, there's ancestral patterns, and a number of ways that they are going to manifest for each person. So I always like to say both health and disease it's like a puzzle, it's a recipe. And so everybody's recipe has certain elements, just like water, proper water is one that we all need, but then the other pieces and the other ingredients are unique to each of us. And that's, I think, where Western medicine really misses everything. They don't treat people as an individual. They treat them as a whole, like this whole group. And you could have 100 people with fibromyalgia, but their recipe ingredients are going to be slightly different to bring them back into healing and wholeness.
That's a really good way to see it. And then when you're talking about the foundation, you really have to tease what started the process, right? So fibromyalgia could mm-hmm. be an emotional trauma. It doesn't have to be a car accident. It doesn't mm-hmm. have to be a virus right. that hit you. So you really would have to do the detective work to get down to the root cause. Yes. I get that. So, and I can say from not me, but my colleagues, 7 minutes on average per patient, there's no way that you can tease apart a complex history. It's just so sad. Now I understand why people just get a prescription and then they're pushed out the door, but it's not making anybody better.
No, it's become a system and a very lucrative business at that. They've got that side down. But as far as the care for the patients, even the care for the practitioners inside the system, it's not there. Our new patient consults are an hour and a half, and that is just barely scratching the surface. And when they come in, they learn more about their body than they have in decades. So that just shows you how much time we take. And that's just the first initial step. It's not even all of the pieces, but it gives us enough information to actually start piecing together what they need to start with.
I can, I'm just curious, on an average, how many prescriptions do people come to your office on that initial consultation? I'm sure it's more than one or two.
Yeah, it's anywhere. So a lot of people, their goal is to get off prescriptions or avoid them. So some of them are smart and they come before they start the prescription because they want to figure out if they can avoid that completely. The ones who come in and who are already on them, I mean, we're talking even kids, they're on anywhere from 3 to 15 prescriptions.
That's crazy. And I've seen it's in insane. My practice, you know, duplicates. So there's two of the same type of medication, you know what I mean? The same family. I'm like, does anybody even do a medication list and go over them with the patient? I don't know if they're coming from different doctors and no one's talking, but I can, mm-hmm. I mean, from a cellular level, every medicine that you take, either it messes with your vitality, I would think, cellular, yeah. or it somehow inhibits a pathway, there's always a consequence. Mm-hmm. It's never just a one-off, is it?
No, it's really not. And it causes a lot of other disruptions that they're not aware of or informed on either when they're given the prescription.
Is it the it's a loaded question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Is it the doctor or is it the pharmacist who should be alerting the patient to and taking the time to educating about the informed consent, which I think is almost non-existent in the healthcare profession right now? But it's, you can't, in my opinion, take something if you don't know everything potentially that could happen to you.
Yes, it's true. And probably both, honestly, the person giving the prescription and the person filling it, because we have a patient that came in. Their doctor had been filling the same prescription. It was hormone replacement therapy, testosterone, and Walgreens. They filled the prescription and it was wrong. It was basically what you would give somebody going through a transgender state. And it wasn't caught for months. And they kept that amount in her body. So there was irreversible damage that was done.
Wow, that's tragic. And
yes. So what? I think it's both. I think the person filling, the pharmacist filling, and the practitioner and physician prescribing.
I want to make another observation that you just triggered for me to think about. And that is the lack of time that we spend on average, educating our patients and educating ourselves. Are you seeing any pushback? And I don't know if it's a loaded question or not, but mm-hmm. when people don't know, I don't care what it is. They don't know. They get very angry and they get very confrontational. Mm-hmm. Is that a problem? Because, you know, patients will find whoever's going to make them feel better. And more power to mm-hmm. them. More patients need to be, in my opinion, more aggressive about their own health care. Mm-hmm. Is that a problem? Are you seeing doctors be confrontational, adversarial, instead of learning?
We get them sometimes. The way that our facility is set up is we kind of have I do a free 15-minute consult first, so that way people can learn and see if this is a good fit for them. So we have a very specific process, because by the time they come in, I want them to kind of understand that we're a very different approach. Usually that's what they're looking for. So I would say 90% of the time mm-hmm. they are open, but they get triggered through the process because we lead with education and empowerment, reminding them that nothing outside of their body, including our frequency medicine therapies, heals them. That it's their innate intelligence, their body's ability, that these are tools that help facilitate that process. And so sometimes, because the full responsibility and accountability falls upon each of us when we're healing, that can be triggering. But when they're in a program and healing, they're kind of expecting that already. Now, a new person kind of coming off the street, yes, very, very adversarial, they do not like to see certain things that come up on their report about them. Mm-hmm. We have seen that as well, that we're almost in denial of what they're seeing, because their body's communicating with them for the first time. We use biofeedback as an analysis, so we don't do anything invasive. And they get triggered and they get upset that they're actually seeing their lifestyle choices now in a report.
Mm. That's one thing that's different about your natural approach, your functional approach, and I think general medicine. For some reason, we've removed them from responsibility. Something happened to them outside of their control. You know, it's genetics. So it's not something that they did and they don't have responsibility. Therefore, it's someone else's problem. Mm-hmm. It's a whole nother ballgame when you have to look at yourself in the mirror and say, I shouldn't have been drinking soda at 2 a.m. you know, I did it to myself and I'm going to take responsibility. Yeah. That's a different patient relationship, isn't it?
It is. It's an empowered relationship versus a victim and enabler. And that tends to be what we see, not just in the medical field. I mean, just in our society in general, there's this repetitive feedback loop of the victim, the perpetuator, and you just kind of stay in the cycle, but nobody gets well. Nobody has a fulfilled life in that cycle. So breaking that cycle is a huge piece of healing, because if we created it, that means we can uncreate it. And that is the most empowering concept once you're able to accept that.
Oh, I love that. I think that's absolutely right. I The show is based on taking your power back and not letting somebody define you or put limits on you. I think anger, to me, is probably one of the, you know, anger shows up in so many different ways, as anxiety, as fear, as victimhood. How do we, I mean, biofeedback, I've never really explored that. I'm curious to know, how do you get them into that mode of just relaxing and not trying to control something?
Because it's so passive, we allow the analysis, for example, if we're doing the new patient appointment, I just talk to them like a person, not like a doctor trying to diagnose and prescribe, just as somebody trying to understand them and understanding the pieces of their history, because it all plays a part. And, you know, their hand is connected to the sensor during this, and they don't have to think or force or do anything. It's going to communicate. Our bodies communicate all the time, and it communicates in biocommunication. So it's just using the language of our body that's always there. But then the report is put together in a way that we can start to understand. So they, because it's so passive, I think it just allows their defenses to kind of melt.
And I think that's probably one of the most powerful things, that connection that you have from somebody who's trying to help you, right? I think that they're not trying to take something from you. You actually have that relationship. To me, the real power of the doctor-patient relationship. It's that connection, that energy that passes between the two, that it's not about money. Yeah. I just want you better. I'll do whatever I need to do to help you get there. And that's gone in our healthcare profession now. It's just do something to me, give me money, you know, or my insurance company in between trying to thwart the process. It is not conducive to what you just described. And I mean, it sounds like a wonderful experience, frankly.
Yeah. A lot of people come in and they feel hopeful for the first time, sometimes in decades. And, you know, and I explain it not in a medical way. I mean, yeah, we read the research papers and the publications, but they're not enjoyable. So being able to take the information into normal language, it really empowers us and them, because we're not trying to speak at them or over them like so many doctors do. We're bringing it down to a level where we can connect with, communicate with, and bring understanding to them. Because that's where fear, as you know, which past year has been the number one infusion through every element, is the fastest way for your cells to break down and your body to shut down. And so not understanding something is the fastest way to move into fear. So when you can break something down in an easy to understand way, it eliminates that fear-based action that's going on in the body. Now, some people, they actually get upset because they like the complexity and the fear, and those are the ones who prefer the problem to be out there, somebody else's job to fix them. So we have seen that on occasion where they want things to remain complex and over their head, so they're not taking responsibility, but that's not our clientele. Those are not the people that we work with, because we're not the right fit for them.
Well, let's take our second break, because I want to discuss fear on a cellular level, because you just described the macro picture. I like people to understand what's going on internally when they live in that fear space. And let's take our second break. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living in the Solution. We're speaking with Dr. Anna Blessing, and you can go to the Facebook page of Tucson Biofeedback and Dr. Anna Blessing on Twitter. And was that Instagram, was it?
Yes,
as well?
Okay. Instagram.
And before the break, we were really, I think, getting into a very important topic, because you're absolutely right. This past year has been fear on steroids. I've just tuned out and turned it off, because it was starting to make me feel bad. And I'm a pretty positive person, but when I see things coming at me that don't have science, and I can see people, it's affecting how they're living their lives, and it's affecting how they, you know, project themselves on other people, I had to disconnect. And I've seen a lot of interesting people come through my practice. Now I'm seeing the people who are shut-ins and they're totally anxious and they're just like, you know, they're fingernails on a chalkboard kind of thing. They make me tense, frankly. How can, what's going on a cellular level when someone, I assume it's low energy, but Give us a cellular feeling of what that means when someone's living in a fear space.
When they're in a fear space, and they had several studies, they looked at the immune system, and the worst emotion for the immune system was fear. And it lowered the body's ability to ward off invaders and attacks from pathogens, toxicity, stress, etc. So that's happening in the body. And then on the cell level, the cell starts to die in essence, because our cells are here to thrive. And when they duplicate, you know, it's going to duplicate whatever is in the body. So if somebody's been in fear the past year, we've had them come in. I'll give an example. They're calling it post-COVID symptoms. You and I could probably talk in depth about some other things going on with that. But it's like they set off an entire domino effect of symptoms. So mast cell activation occurs because, of course, when we're in a trauma state, which this immense fear that's been pushed out on the all of us, that puts you into a trauma state. And I always kind of simplify, there's a three-step process really whenever there's any health issue. There's the trigger or the compounding stress that tips the scale, so to speak. And then the body goes into an inflammation response, like histamine cascade, and then it goes into paralysis. So the cell or the body or the particular symptom is now in a loop. And we call it feedback loops. And it's just looping and looping and looping until you can break that feedback loop. And that happens on a frequency level. The cells respond, and same with our DNA, it's like little antennas. It responds the most to frequency. So more than even just diet and nutrition, you can manipulate, for better or for worse, the cell and the DNA through frequency, positive or negative. A lot of the electromagnetics coming off of the towers are negative. They don't have to be. They could be pushing out 432 hertz, which is the healing vibration, but they're not. They're putting out 60 hertz, which is the inflammation, and actually it starts to cause respiratory shutdown and blood coagulation. People don't understand this. And so that impacts us negatively the same way that positive thinking, hope, and affirmations and certain things to speak life into ourselves activate the cells back to life is in essence what it's doing.
No, I saw, I can't remember which scientist did it, but it was, I think he was Japanese, and it was water crystals or water structure.
Dr. Emoto.
There you go. And it turned, I'm like, I can't even believe I was watching that, how awesome that was. Disordered, dissonant music makes it completely chaotic and basically messy. And prayer and positivity, it's beautiful crystalline structure. So if you're saying that the cells are that sensitive to frequency and energy, that's disease that we're describing when you're angry and powerless and victimized.
Yes.
There's no way that your cells would be harmonized to be self-healing.
Yes, exactly. And in the medical field, in every, really the media everywhere, they don't push out anything resonant. Everything that they are communicating and broadcasting or diagnosing is all dissonant and fear-based. If you get a diagnosis, you're immediately in fear. Yeah. Your body goes in. You get that cancer diagnosis, a lot of times people are frozen in that moment in time. There's a lot of cells that are frozen in different points of their life that they may or may not realize. And you have to break free. There's a lot of PTSD on a cell level, not just the overall that people think, going to Afghanistan, going through something incredibly traumatic, but something as much as a diagnosis or a parent's diagnosis can create PTSD on the cell level. So there's a lot of little feedback loops. Our entire system works on feedback loops. So in order to heal, you got to bring resonance in, but first you got to break that loop so the cells can move into the present moment.
So from, let's slingshot it to present day. Continuing to listen to rhetoric that there's nothing you can do to get yourself better. Even if you do take something, it's still not going to work. You still have to shut yourself off and remove yourself from other human. And from what you describe, we are energetic beings. So we do need communication and touch and community in order to help us be better from what you're describing, right? So sitting in your home
Absolutely.
In the dark on an internet where you're getting bombarded with EMFs and dissonance and hate, that's got to be just awful for the system.
Oh, completely. And we're seeing it, you know, people's bodies and their minds are breaking down. And science has already proven, you know, a newborn baby who's not held and touched will die. It needs to be held and touched. Just like no matter what age we are, we need 22 hugs a day, 20 seconds per hug to thrive. We need 12 just to survive. So I know I'm not even getting 22 hugs a day.
Gosh, we're in a deficit on a worldwide level
really
at this moment. So let's talk about what we can do. We know that negativity is an issue. And if we have control mm-hmm. over our own person, what's the first thing? I probably change your mindset, right? So you're not a negative person and think about gratitude, positivity, love. Yeah. Those are things that would actually break this paradigm, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. And for some people, thinking about love or something positive or hope is triggering for them because they're so far in that pit. Mm. And the easiest way is to do something more passive with those individuals where, you know, go onto SoundCloud. There's some great musicians who attune all their music to healing resonant frequencies, like 432, 111. Just playing those 24/7 in the background is going to start shifting the cells. So sometimes asking people to change their mindset is even too much. They're too deep into the pit where they need to just start shifting the environment they're in. Turn off the news is the first way. If you're still watching the media, I can't even call it news anymore. If you're still watching the media, turn that off completely. That is the fastest way because the broadcast system, the patent on television is it's broadcasting frequencies to manipulate the nervous system. It's a filed patent. So this is not like made up. This is a patent that was filed where they can manipulate the nervous system. So that is the first thing to do. Shut off the media and all of the noise, whether it be social media, the TV, and only play resonant music or somebody else speaking positive affirmations if you're unable to do that yourself.
Now, I've also heard that digital music versus the analog, where you have albums and you're actually hearing the richness and the vibrance of the music, that's also a difference, isn't it?
It is. And human sound, chanting, mantras, that is profound because we're using the sound of our own voice, which tones the vagus nerve. And I love chanting and mantras. I think they're very powerful.
Well, let's talk about that, what you said from a cellular level. We're talking about the sympathetic system versus the parasympathetic system, right?
Mm-hmm.
And for those of us who don't understand that, can you describe what they each do? Briefly, I guess.
Yeah. So the vagus nerve, for example, most people, they think it's one nerve, but it's actually a nerve bundle that's connected to almost everything. And most people's vagus nerve is not functioning. It's paralyzed. And so their bodily functions are not working properly. So toning with the mouth closed or humming, it stimulates the ability for the vagus nerve to start functioning, which lowers stress and allows the body to reharmonize itself. And obviously with the parasympathetic, it works by way, people kind of get confused on what each one does. But the nervous system, I believe, is the key here, is what I'm getting at. And frequencies manipulate that for better or for worse, like we just talked about with the television. Mm-hmm. So it's constantly triggering a fight or flight response. And when you're constantly in that fight or flight response, the sympathetic system is basically on overdrive. And the parasympathetic lowers that into a calm, composed state. So that's the easiest way to understand it. If you're watching things that are stressing you out, that's immediate sign that you're triggering that sympathetic response and you need to get into a parasympathetic. So whatever that activity is, or a person, it can be a person too that you're around that's triggering that. You need to remove yourself from that situation or that person because it's telling you it's an unhealthy person or situation or something you're listening to at that time. It doesn't necessarily mean forever. So being able to stimulate that parasympathetic response through toning, through humming, is one of the fastest ways to kind of lower that fight or flight. And personally, I I have found that people are pretty much chronically 24/7 in this fight or flight response, especially after this past year.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And they get triggered. I mean, it's either a piece of clothing are triggering people at this point, or yes, what you have on your t-shirt. I mean, it's never been to this degree. And I think it's all connected. Yes. You know, you just get this constant inundation of negativity and how you should think. And it's tied to what kind of person you are, if you're good or bad. It's mm-hmm. got a whole value system attached to it. And, you know, people don't know you. They honestly can't have that kind of power over you. How do they know what your heart is? And people just need to disconnect from their ego. I think that also drives it, because when you're all about you, you just don't have a distance to get a perspective on what's really important. And it's us. I mean, it's us being in community with each other. I think that's a healthy society, and we need to, I think, get back to that. So let's take our last break and come back. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living the Solution. We're speaking with Dr. Anna Blessing, and her clinic is the Tucson Biofeedback Clinic, and it's TucsonBiofeedback.com. And as she said, you can contact her, even if you don't live in Arizona, and get a consultation and start living your life and getting your health back. And it's a wonderful system that you have, that you don't have to live in the state and you can still get help. And it's all about making that first move. That's, you must have so mm-hmm. many people who say, I should have done this sooner, and now I feel like I'm on the right track. I can imagine what they're saying, because that's how I feel just speaking with you, that you're providing such an amazing foundation for people who are ready. And people don't know what they don't know. That's why I'm so happy that you're on the show, because biofeedback is something that's kind of nebulous. People don't think about it, but it mm-hmm. you have to know your body, I think, in order to help heal. No one can do it for you. You actually have to do the work, don't you?
Yes. Yes. It's like nobody can breathe for you. We have to breathe on our own. And the same thing with healing. I personally feel that healing is a life skill, and it's not one we're taught. Our body has a language, and it's always communicating with us. I don't believe that the body, a lot of people think it works against us and it has disease and it breaks down, but it's always trying to find equilibrium. It's doing everything it can to keep us alive. And so instead of looking at our body as the enemy and an external thing as the solution, we need to switch that, where we look at the body as our biggest ally. And we have to slow down to start to listen to it, to learn it, because it's always communicating. Usually it just takes a few bricks to the head before we understand it, because it's been whispering for years.
So it's about being able to support the body so that it can do its job, right? So that mm-hmm. means mind change, food isn't important. I think fuel, correct? Where you're not eating foods that are processed and chemical laden and toxin laden. Yeah. And detoxing your system so you can reset it should be a goal of everybody.
And it, unfortunately, it needs to be a daily thing. It's estimated we absorb, breathe in, bathe in over a million toxins a day. So imagine the stress our bodies are under trying to get those out, on top of any choices we make, going to fast food or a restaurant that uses canola oil, which is motor oil. And it's those choices that we can't control everything. We can't avoid the pesticides that are in our air, food, and water now. It's not possible to live a pristine life simply because the corporations have poisoned our planet. And those things we can't control, but we can control how we support our body and what we choose to put in it and on it as well. That's another thing. Our mm-hmm. skin absorbs everything. Mm-hmm. And that's a huge piece that we try to educate people on is the exposure to the toxins and the poisons, mental toxins as well, are daily. And it's a daily practice at this point.
Well, what are some of the modalities that people can use to help their body harmonize? I've recently looked at EMF mats, or, you know, infrared saunas mm-hmm. and those things like that. Do they work?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the infrared saunas are great. Out here, we already are hot, so it's like an imbalance of the elements. So an infrared sauna in Tucson, where we're already hot and dry, is not the best thing for me to add in. But in a damp place, because it's all about balancing the elements too within our body and within our environment. So So infrared saunas are fantastic for many people. You can sweat out a lot of those toxins. Mm-hmm. Obviously, structured water, having people search out. Some people have water stores where they actually have that available for people. Detoxification. On our Instagram, there's one particular product I have taken for 7 years. It's clinotophyllite on a cell level, and it's merged with a cellular level of vitamin C. So that link is on our Tucson Biofeedback Instagram, but I take that daily because of what I said. We are constantly exposed to toxins, and you have to get inside the cell and inside the brain. And most detoxifying agents are too large, the same golf ball marble aspect. Toning, chanting, some type of meditation, music, harmonious music with the proper frequencies is one of the best ways to heal. And now they have so many technologies that you can utilize biofeedback, which you used to only be able to do in clinic. Mm-hmm. They have things you can do from home, like HeartMath. HeartMath is one of the top biofeedback systems that we recommend that people can use on their smartphone. And they get to learn their response and retrain it on their own.
And that's an app that's on like iPhone and mm-hmm. what's it called again?
It's HeartMath, like mathematics, so, and then okay. The HeartMath.
Interesting. So people who have anxiety, would things like that would help with them or blood pressure issues?
Yes. Hmm. Yeah. So biofeedback has been proven to work with, I think it's over 16 conditions now, blood pressure, anxiety, stress being three of them. So HeartMath, they have an abundance of research over the past couple decades they've been doing this. So that is one of the best places to go to and just kind of start learning. And then also bringing in your own personalized system. I love that technology has advanced so much where so many things we can now do from the comfort of our own home even.
Well, that's awesome, especially in this day and age. And, you know, yes. You've mentioned a lot of things on your website and people, it's a wealth of information. You need to go to her website, but you talk about things like fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue and migraines mm-hmm. and migraines are very difficult to me. It's one of those things that the patient feels awful, but everybody's treating around it. But I'm not so sure that they're actually treating the problem. They just seem to mask it or dope somebody up most of the time. Mm-hmm. Is it biofeedback or is it mostly toxins, you think, that cause the migraine?
So what we have found is a combination, again, for each person. But in every case, we have found three things. Number one, there is some type of histamine intolerance, or if you have moved beyond that into a mast cell activation disorder. So sensitivities in the simplified terms, sensitivities to nutrients, we have found every migraine and fibromyalgia patient has. And that is difficult because they're usually doing elimination diets trying to fix their health. Mm-hmm. But if you're sensitive to vitamins, minerals, amino acids, you're taking supplements and eating healthy, you're triggering because of that. So that's one of the number one things we have found with migraines. If you can rewire the system to stop reacting to the sensitivities, those are your migraine triggers. The second part, yes, absolutely. Toxins in the brain is a huge piece, and then it usually cannot drain out and the pathways are clogged. So detoxification is the second one, and then stress or unresolved emotional issues because the body keeps the score. It's one of my favorite books, and so is Feelings Buried Alive, Never Die. And it goes really deeply into how we store emotions and then how they show up in physical pain or other health related areas. So those are the three things that I have found. And then depending on what's going on in each different case, you know, we bring in supporting factors for that.
Well, so I'm an ear, nose and throat doctor, and this is Georgia. So we have a ton of allergies that come throughout the year. And now I'm going to start looking at this differently. Instead of masking it with an antihistamine or a nasal steroid or something, if the diet is really triggering histamine, and it's driving mast cell release, then it's a different approach, which would get my patients off of medication from what you're describing if we dig a little deeper into the root cause. Is there a test that patients can do? Can we send them to your office, or how does that work that we can quantitate this? Because it sounds right on point, but how do you do this in a way that I'm going to send you for a test and I can figure out what it is that you're what's driving your histamine in terms of food or whatever?
We use our biofeedback system to test that. And so that's what we use. There's a number of ways that you can look at that as well. And then we also treat the sensitivity reactions through the biofeedback system. Oh. Because, for example, amino acids is always our first treatment. It will read exactly which amino acids the patient's reacting to the decimal point. And then there is an output, which is the treatment portion, that then goes through and it rewrites the biochemistry, in essence, is what it's doing. So they're no longer reacting to that. I used to have horrible chemical sensitivity. If somebody had a perfume, immediately I would mm-hmm. go into a migraine. I would get nauseous, vomit at times, and I was out for the day, just one whiff. And this saved my life, because you can't avoid that completely either. So mm-hmm. I was able to rewrite my reactions, and it completely shut down those histamine responses. And you probably are aware that trauma mm-hmm. makes us have histamine related releases and extra sensitivity. So addressing that trauma too, if there is that underlying.
That is so powerful, because there's so many patients, and everybody's practice has had them, where they come in, they have got a laundry list of issues, and you can't see them on the physical exam. And it's you're like the fifth doctor that they've seen, and it's real, mm-hmm. but this is something mm-hmm. on a cellular level that, you know, we didn't have a facility to even think that way, but it's now mm-hmm. a big deal. I think it's even becoming more aggressive now with the mind and body connection of people being unhappy and powerless, and it's showing up all sorts of ways now.
It is. And, you know, blood work can only look at so much. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times it waits until there's damage control. So having a way to look at things from a preventive perspective, and also like when they come in, I let them know this may not show up in blood or skin tests, but let's say your sensitivity is triggering schizophrenia. We've seen that, where it's triggering a mental illness or a mental imbalance. This will pick up if there is any sensitivity reaction in the body. So it doesn't matter where it's shown. That's it just amazing. Matters that it's showing up.
That's incredible. So for real time, how can people, because you can do a consult, mm-hmm. and as you said, we don't have to be in your state. Mm-hmm. How can people contact you to use your services, because they need to know this?
Yeah. The best way is to just go to our site, TucsonBiofeedback.com. And then right from there, you can schedule a phone consult. And then this year, we've been super busy, which is a positive thing coming out of all of this. There's a number of people seeking out how to heal themselves and be empowered. So for new patients, I'm booked about 5 weeks out at any time this year, which is a good thing, but just a heads up. Mm-hmm. And the phone consult, especially if you're not local, is the best way to start. That way we can touch base on what's going on with each person's case. And then, you know, I can definitely let them know if we're a good fit, or if I have, you know, somebody else that I can refer out to.
Well, I want to thank you so much. The time goes mm-hmm. way too fast. I really enjoyed our conversation, and I learned a lot. And now I feel even more empowered to expand my thinking so that I can be even a better doctor for my patients. And again, your website is TucsonBiofeedback.com, and your Facebook mm-hmm. is the same, Tucson Biofeedback, correct?
Yes. And your Facebook and Instagram is the same.
Okay. And you're welcome to come back anytime. I'd love to explore even more of what you do, because it's just scratching the surface. But I just wanted people to have a foundation on what cellular biology and quantum physics and all these other things are, because it's who we mm-hmm. are. We need to understand that so that we can take our power back. So thank you so much for joining me today. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you so much for having me. This was wonderful.
Oh, it's a pleasure. And thank you, everybody, for living in the solution.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.